Husbands are notorious for making unkind remarks about their wives. Take, for example, the husband who was asked, "Do you wake up grouchy every morning?" To which he responded, "No, I let her sleep and just go to work." It's a couple couples, they're not laughing. I don't understand why you're not laughing. And then there was the husband who was walking in an airport with his wife and was approached by a porter who said, "Sir, can I carry your bag?" To which he responded, "No, she can walk." None of you are allowed to use those, gentlemen. You understand? Just want to demonstrate how obnoxious we can be. It does amaze me, though, men especially, that we devote countless hours to preparing for our God-given profession. If you're a doctor, you spend hours and hours of study, hours and hours of practice before you actually engage in your profession. I spent 4 years studying Hebrew and Greek and homiletics and hermeneutics, studying the scriptures in order to have the foundation upon which to preach. But if you think back a little bit, how much time did you devote in preparation for your role maybe as a husband? How much time did you put in? I put in about 6 hours on some tapes, 2 or 3 hours on some books, 4 or 5 hours in counseling, and I'm a husband for life. It seems that our preparation for our lifelong role as a husband is minimal. And many times we pay an incredible price because of that. Most of us have learned about being a husband or a wife by trial and error. In my case, it's Terry's trials because of my errors. What I'd like to do today, though, is gain some wisdom for those of us that are husbands. Now, keep in mind, we are talking about a relationship between a man and a woman, a husband and wife. The principles we will examine, though, can be applied to many other situations, many other relationships. So if you're not a husband, not married, whatever, apply these principles to other important relationships in your life. Once again, we'll turn to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs was written to teach us the skill of living a godly life. Wisdom is the skill of living. Living life in a fashion that reflects the character of our God. It is interesting that throughout the book of Proverbs, we have one relationship after another in which the writer of Proverbs is shedding God's light for us to live by. It talks about a husband relating to his wife, a wife to her husband, parents to children, how we relate to our God, how a businessman relates to his employees, how we all relate to the economics of life, all found in this very practical book. The first thing we want to find out about the wise husband is that he values his wife. Look at Proverbs 18 and verse 22. "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Immediately, we see that this proverb gives us a general affirmation of the marriage relationship. It is a good thing when a man finds a wife. There are a number of truths, I think, that we must study in light of this. This verse has in mind Genesis chapter 2. Keep your hand in Proverbs 18, but turn back to Genesis chapter 2. And in Genesis 2:18, we read, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him a helper suitable for him.' And out of the ground the Lord formed every beast of the field and every bird of the sky and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called a living creature, that was its name. Then he named all the creatures, but at the end found that he still had a great need. And that need was for a woman, his wife." Since the very beginning, God's ideal, before the fall, was a man and a woman, a husband and a wife. In preparation for today, I listened to a message by Dr. Walkie, a Hebrew scholar, and in studying this passage made a statement that intrigued me. He said, "We must keep in mind that when God brought about the institution of marriage, husband and wife, he did so before the fall. In other words, it's not a product of sin. It's product of a perfect situation that God created. He even suggested that singleness, the single state, that many have to live in today, do live in today, is expedient because of sin. In other words, if sin had never entered the human race, God's plan would have been for every man to have a woman, every woman to have a man. But because sin has entered the race, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, we find that in certain situations, for certain people today, God gifts them to remain single. Why? Because of expediency. It is difficult to live a married life and serve God in our day. Interesting thought. My friends, let me try and dig into your heart as I have dug into my own. God is saying that, my friend, if you have found a wife, you have found what should be one of the keys that unlocks happiness for you. It is a good thing. God wants that happiness for us probably more than we want it for ourselves. God gave us marriage as a wonderful gift in order for us to be happy. Now think about it for a little bit. How many Christian couples do you know that are really happy in their marriage? How many? Think just for a moment. Think first of your own marriage. Are you finding happiness in that relationship? Do you recognize exactly what God wants for you? Or to find yourself saying, maybe, he who finds a wife finds a good thing? I don't know. It disturbs me to no end because what I am doing in terms of a ministry brings me in contact constantly with Christian couples, especially by way of mail, whose marriages are struggling. It hasn't brought happiness, it's brought pain. It's brought heartache. Many times the heartache leads to divorce. Why? Why is it that when God says when a man finds a wife, he found a good thing? Herein is happiness. It's not good for man to be alone. He needs a helper suitable for him. He wants happiness in our marriages. Instead, we see so many just destroyed by the agony of not being able to get along together. Why? Well, there's probably 1,000 reasons why the reality of this verse hasn't made its way into our experience. But what I'd like to do is suggest just 2 reasons why many of us do not experience happiness in our marriage. 2 very simple reasons. The first is this. We do not know how to relate to one another biblically. As a husband, as a wife. We don't know how to do it. Again, in preparation for becoming a husband, what do you get? If you get anything, you get 2 or 3 counseling sessions, a couple of books, and some tapes. You need a lot more. We are ill-equipped to look at each other and relate the way God tells us to relate. We don't know how to do it. We don't even know what God says. And then the second problem is, many of us that do know at least somewhat of what God has said about a man and a woman relating to each other in marriage, we're disobedient. We don't want to do what God has told us to do. My friends, I am absolutely, thoroughly convinced that if you are willing, 1, to know how to relate biblically to one another, and 2, you are willing to look to God to do that, you want to relate biblically, you're going to set out to do that, you're going to have one dynamite, exciting marriage. You're going to enjoy it. You will. And I am thrilled to be able to say I can say that on personal experience. As long as I relate to Terry on the basis of what God says, and she relates to me on the basis of what God says, and we both are obedient to what God says, it is an absolute blast. It is the ultimate in happiness, contentment. That's what God wants for us, each of us. What this verse is telling me, men, is that we have to value our wives. God tells us, hey, you found a good thing. Many of us don't buy that, gentlemen. If you're a wise husband, you must value your wife. Somehow, you have to communicate that your wife is really more important than your work. That's the biggie. I don't know about you, but I come home and my mind is typically still at work. At least parts of it are at work. I'm oblivious to so much of what's going on around my house. I'm thinking about a problem that happened at work that morning. Something I've got to resolve by the next morning. And so I come home and I'm not really there. What does that communicate to my wife? It communicates that my work is more important than she is. It communicates that I must not be that excited to see her. It communicates that my life energy is going to flow into my work, not toward my wife. Now, after day in and day out of that, she does get the message. And the message to that dear gal is, I think he loves his work more than he loves me. She can't help but read that message, gentlemen. It's communicated so well. And I know it's a message you might not want to communicate. You've got to figure ways to demonstrate to her that she is valuable. But that brings me to a second point. In addition to valuing his wife, the wise husband praises or affirms his wife. Turn over to Proverbs 31, where we have the acrostic poem about the excellent wife and mother. Proverbs 31 and verse 28. Now, usually, of course, we just focus on the wife and her characteristics. But let's not forget verse 28. In light of this woman who is bionic in nature, we read this. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Do you praise your wife? Do you affirm her and what she does? In preparation for this message, I asked my wife, honey, how do I affirm you? Expecting a long list, which I never got. After an hour or so, she thought of a couple things. As I thought more and more about it, I realize, yes, I'm an exhorting type person. I do affirm her, but it's probably not nearly as often or in as many ways as it should be. I have a Proverbs 31 woman, but I'm not responding the way this says I should respond. Gentlemen, I think, again, we must note that this is very important in our day. Women are under an incredible attack by our society. Phenomenal attack on gals. Women are told, if you're a mother, you're a moron if you stay in that home. That's the bottom line. Our poor gals are having to swallow the philosophy of a Gloria Steinem who once said, a woman needs a man like a fish needs a bicycle. Now that's profound, isn't it? But they're getting it every day. Billboards, television, all the media. Make a woman who is a wife and a mother feel like she's less than second rate. And then we come along, you know what we do, gentlemen? We try to convince them that's true, don't we? By the way that we act. No, Proverbs tells us, look, you got a Proverbs 31 woman. This is an industrious woman working hard to make the home a productive place. Then you better affirm her. You better praise her. You better let her know how important she is. I am convinced that a husband's praise is really like the sunlight that causes a wife to blossom to her fullest beauty. She needs our praise. And as we praise her, as we affirm her, we begin to see her develop and grow. And it's a beautiful scene. To hold back that affirmation and that praise is to withhold that which she needs in order to grow. How does a husband do it? Gentlemen, be creative. But let me give you some suggestions. Let her know, just point blank, that you appreciate what she does. Let her know you're grateful for all that she does. We have a tremendous ability to take these things for granted. We really do. And I am convinced, having reflected on my own experience, that I don't realize one half of what my wife does. You know when I realize it? Is when I send her for 3-4 weeks to her parents. And our house becomes an overnight nightmare. Let her know that you appreciate her. Why not compliment her on the things that she does? When was the last time you paid your wife a compliment? About the dress that she's wearing, her hair, the way she did something, the way she handled one of the children. When was the last time you complimented her? You know what happens again? The tendency of men to be so preoccupied. She walks out, I mean, she's an absolute knockout. I mean, she is beautiful. And you look at her, and you look right past her, and you think you're meeting tomorrow. You don't even see her. Do you? We got to stop and say, wait a minute, that meeting's going to be there tomorrow, whether I like it or not. Look at that woman. She's beautiful. compliment her. And you got to realize they're a lot more sensitive than we are. I had to learn this lesson pretty much the hard way several years ago. I had to go to Florida on a trip, and I felt Terry was rather nervous about me leaving because we had been robbed not too long before, and so I sensed she was a little bit uptight. Tried to alleviate that, but I left, and I was gone for 3-4 days. When I came back, Terry had in our bedroom done an entire wall, you know, with sheets, cloth, you know, real beautiful, the batting behind it and all that. And she had done drapes to match on all the windows, bedspreads. I mean, it was really unbelievable. Now, I walk in, and what do you expect me to say? Wow, look at all that. No, I walked in and I said, "Why, you were afraid to go to sleep at night because I was away?" That's not a compliment, by the way. She was crushed. I walked in, and that's what I thought. The first thing that came to my thick skull was, if she got all this done, she must have been upset because I was away, and she couldn't have slept all night to get all this done. And so instead of stopping and saying, "Honey, it's beautiful, but I sure hope, you know, you slept a little bit while I was gone." No, I just said, "Hey, you were uptight." 3 days later, we made up. No. I think it was 5 days later, actually. Now, I did not purposely set out to be a moron. I didn't do that. It comes naturally to most men, including me. My dear wife was crushed. Now, I consciously try, and I do not do it often enough, but I consciously try to recognize all that she does, not take it for granted. When I see something, say, "Hey, that is beautiful. Yeah, that is really nice. Thanks." And it's amazing. It surprises me that affirmation would mean as much as it does, but it does mean so much to a woman. Now, here's another way, gentlemen, I think we can affirm our wives. Extremely practical, but in that sense also difficult. Why not join in helping her around the house as a demonstration of your respect for what she does? Most women have the impression that we as men look at the work they do as something only a slave would do. It is menial work. And they kind of get the impression, not in your house, I'm sure, they kind of get the impression that we are beyond certain household chores. I mean, we're the breadwinner, I'll mow the lawn, but everything else is yours. We're communicating what? We're communicating that's your job, it's a second-rate job, I don't do it. And that really affirms your wife, doesn't it? Really, men, I think this is an area where we offend our wives. Not only do we not affirm them, but we offend them. We really treat what they do as something that's menial, below us, but it's fine for them to do. No, that's not reality. And so if you are willing to chip in and get involved in these tasks, which again are by no means glamorous, and be a part, you're demonstrating it. It needs to be done, and it does. It's something I ought to be helping you to do, and you should. And along with this comes just the practical aspect of helping out with the children. There is a tendency, again, for us to come home with our minds still at work, our bodies in the door. Who even sees the children? We really tend to just allow our wife to just do it all. Get involved. Get involved. In addition to valuing his wife and affirming his wife, the wise husband, now this one's profound, loves his wife. Now isn't it incredible that God has to put things like that in the Bible? Tell us men to love our wives. Just turn back a little bit. Proverbs 30:21. I want to show you what happens if you don't love your wife. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 21. Now try to envision this as you read it. Under three things the earth quakes. Now he's going to talk about things that are really disruptive, that shake the roots of any society. Under four it cannot bear. First, under a slave when he becomes a king, totally disrupts the kingdom. A fool when he is satisfied with food, disrupts the economic system. You got to work to get food. When an unloved woman gets a husband. Verse 23. When an unloved woman gets a husband. I don't think that's the best translation. I think the NIV is a better translation when it says, when a married woman is unloved. If you want to see an earthquake in your home, you want to see the walls tremble, the foundation crack, everything in a disarray, gentlemen, don't bother to love your wife. You'll drive her crazy. One of the worst things on planet Earth is a married woman who doesn't know the love of her husband. You want a rotten family life? That's where you begin. Right there. You'd kind of think that God wouldn't have to tell us that. Right, men? No, God has to tell us that about 100 times over in different ways. Take it by faith, but we gentlemen are extremely dense when it comes to interpersonal relationships. We just don't have it. A friend of mine once shared with me, and I think I mentioned it to you before, that a woman has a built-in marriage manual. She really does. Somehow God has designed a woman in such a way that she knows how to relate. She knows how to love. That's why I don't think there's anywhere in the scriptures that a woman is told to love her husband. Well, that'll happen. She's told to respect her husband. Why? Because a woman knows how to relate, the typical woman. She wants a relationship. She craves a relationship. She knows how to make a relationship work. And then we come along, gentlemen. El klutzo, when it comes to relationships. That's why God has to sit here and tell us very candidly, husbands, love your wives. As Christ loved the church. There's your model. Then in Proverbs, he's going to tell us, now if you don't love your wife, you're going to have a totally unharmonious, disruptive family life. You want to know why? A woman who is not loved in a marriage relationship has her self-image, self-esteem totally destroyed. It's decimated if she doesn't sense your love. She's destroyed. Here's the cycle. Here are the tremors that lead to the earthquake, all right? Describes your home. Let's turn it around today. First of all, a husband who does not openly love his wife. There's a woman there, she does not feel her husband's love. That woman begins to lose her self-respect. I mean, she is living with you in the most intimate of relationships. She is sharing your home, your bed, she's sharing her body with you. And yet you don't love her as far as she can tell. She loses self-respect. She loses her self-respect, which ultimately will result in some form of heavy depression, anger, frustration. Then her frustration, her anger, her depression might cause her to lash out at her husband, lash out at the children. The tension eventually leads to open hostility. And it all started, gentlemen, because you were not a wise husband who loved his wife.
But how do you do it? I mean, what is the reality of it? What is the practical nature? We have a second. Turn over to 1 Corinthians 13. I want to give you an exercise that we've given before, but we want to make it a little bit different. 1 Corinthians 13, that classic passage on love. If you're willing to do this, I believe you'll make some headway when it comes to loving your wife. Beginning with verse 4, we remember these familiar words. Love is patient, love is kind, it is not jealous. Love does not brag, it is not arrogant, does not act unbecomingly. Here's what I'd like you to do. Take your name, substitute it for the word love, and at least in the beginning, take your wife's name and put it at the end of the sentence. John is patient with Terry, and John is kind toward Terry. And that conviction is too much. Let's go back to Proverbs. Try that on for size. You want to find out whether or not your wife is experiencing your love? Put your name in where the word love is. Put your wife's name at the end of the sentence. Does she know that you're patient? Are you patient with her? Are you kind toward her? Are you compassionate? We all have a long way to go. And men, I'm convinced women are willing to be patient with us. But it begins with a recognition, men, that we're not made or designed to go this way naturally. It is supernatural when a man is able to relate properly to his wife. Absolutely supernatural. But you're able to do it because God wants you to do it. And as you love her again, she begins to develop. And you want to know something? You're going to have the greatest family life you could ever imagine as you love your wife. It's reciprocated to you. You begin to feel better about yourself. Your children feel better about themselves because her love is being poured out to them because she's reflecting your love. And then all aspects of the relationship begin to get better. You want a good physical relationship? Love your wife. You want intimacy in the spiritual realm? Love your wife. You want harmony in your home? Then love your wife. Let me at this point, though, say one word to the women here that I think is critical. Ladies, please recognize that men are generally deficient in this area. God tells us these very simple principles because that's exactly what we need. Very simple, direct principles. We are not, as men, capable of getting into the heavy stuff. Just lay it out, Lord, nice and easy. Value my wife, affirm my wife, love my wife. Now let's make a list of what I'm going to do those. That's how simple it needs to be for a man. But ladies, you can help us. You really can. First of all, recognize that we're really not out, most of us, we're really not out to demonstrate a lack of love toward you as a wife. We really don't set out to be this way. Unfortunately, we're this way naturally. Then what we need you to do is to teach us. Teach us what it means to love. I want to challenge you, gentlemen, tonight, today, with your wife. Will you sit down with her and say, honey, in what ways could I encourage you? Ask her, in what ways do I discourage you? And I did exactly that with my wife and found out that maybe I ought to be doing a lot more than I am. I saw her face light up when she said, well, the one thing you've really, really encouraged me in is my calligraphy, my artwork. She never would have done it if I hadn't said, man, that's good. What does that tell you, though? It tells you that she naturally lacks confidence because it is beautiful. And if I would have been my typical out-to-lunch self and not said, hey, that is beautiful, you got to do more of that, she may never have done it. And now it's something, it's an expression of her love for people, her love for the Lord, her love for the Word of God. And it's also something we've made a lot of money on. So I'm still encouraging her. Go for it, baby. Where are you? Why aren't you home working? Be an encouragement. And then finally, let me give another point, a fourth point. A wise husband, get this now, enjoys his wife's embrace. Enjoys his wife's embrace. And by embrace, I am being casual in my terminology. Now, I'm going to give you a passage that I want husbands and wives only to read later. I would get into it, but there are some young people here and parents. You'd be trying to explain it for the next 16 years. But I want you to read it. In fact, when I was studying Proverbs and came on this passage, I said, hey, Tara, sit down. I want to read you something from Proverbs. And she expected something like, you know, if you had been a fool, exalting folly. And she sat down and I read to her Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 19. Now, there's nothing unwholesome about this, obviously. In fact, it's something I think you really need to read as a couple. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 15 through 19. Without turning there, let me give you several observations I hope you'll make. Again, the wise husband who enjoys his wife's embrace. Number one, the physical relationship is to be enjoyed in marriage. You really ought to be enjoying each other. You read that and you're going to see what I mean. And then secondly, intimacy in the physical realm, your oneness, is heightened by the monogamy of the relationship. It's an exclusive relationship between you and your wife. Keep it that way. It's very important to the relationship. The wise man, he enjoys his wife's embrace and not the embrace of any other woman. That passage makes that very clear. I close with a challenge. I want for you, I want for myself what God wants. God wants you to have a happy marriage. If you will be a wise man, a wise husband, apply the basic skills from the book of Proverbs to your marriage, you're going to have more fun than you ever imagined in a marriage. It will thrive. It will grow. It will develop. It will be exciting. It will be comforting. You'll find contentment. You'll find peace. You'll find what God wants to give. God gives a man a wife, he's done a good thing. Thank God for her. Make sure you affirm her. Make sure you love her. Make sure you enjoy her embrace. And enjoy the relationship he has given to you. The two who are now one in Christ. If you are struggling right now in your marriage, and I know a number of you are, believe me, I know. All you have to do is obey. Begin to implement this. And wait until you see the fruit of your efforts. Will you do it today? And men, on a very personal note, I've had women come up to me over the last couple of weeks crying. Some of your wives. And I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Give them the best, guys. Do what's right. Man, wait until you see how beautiful she becomes because of your love. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you speak very directly to us. Our problem, Father, is not that we cannot understand what you say. Our problem is that we don't do what you say. Help us, Father. Help us today to enjoy the marriage relationship which you put together before the fall. A perfect relationship. Lord, we know we do battle with the sin principle that's in our world. But we know by the power of the Spirit, we can beat it. Lord, my prayer is, as a result of the Spirit's work today in our hearts, that some men will become wise husbands. And as they see their wife develop and grow under their love and nurturing, they might share it with others. The truth that happiness can be found in this relationship. Thank you for my wife, for all she means to me. In Jesus' name.